They move it to Miller. JT Miller with a slap pass.
He can make it. He's got it. Touchdown, Seahawks!
Launches one deep left field and gone.
Curry slammed on the brakes. Oh my goodness, Curry!
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Live for Sports. My name, of course, is Nathan. As always, joined by Mr. Joseph Augusti. I am talking in robot voice at the moment. I don't know why. How are we doing, Joseph? Tuesday night.
Doing good, Nathan. I like Tuesdays. It's always good hockey on the schedule. It's my day off. Get to hang out with my pal Nanaimo, Nathan. What more could I possibly want?
Yeah,
don't answer that.
Love hanging out with you virtually over talking. Well, we get to talk sports, so that's what we both enjoy. But the virtual thing, it's a little tough since I don't live in that city anymore. As much as I would love to, it's just way too fucking expensive. Holy shit.
Yeah.
All right, we got a jam-packed episode, I call it.
Jelly packed.
We got we will continue with the Four Nations predictions going over Sweden.
The Trey Kronor.
There could be a little controversy there. We'll see. I feel like I think there will be. Let's say that. We're gonna talk some Pittsburgh Penguins because they made a trade today, and just as a whole, what's going on with them, because it's not looking too great right now. In the MLB, we'll go over our top five outfielders and where we think they will sign. I think there's a pretty consensus top five. I don't know if you have the same top five as I do, but we will see. We'll go to some week 10 talk in the NFL, and maybe the Steelers are legit? Question mark? I don't know. We'll see. And then, in the NBA, I know it's Joseph's favorite. It's the NBA Cup starts today.
Good Lord.
No, we won't talk about that. We're going to talk about the Cavaliers because holy shit, why are they 12-0? I do not understand. But anyways, Sweden, Joseph, same format as last week. You go first with your forwards. I go with mine.
Yeah, let me just pull my list here.
Okay.
Sweden's got a bit of a wagon here, Nathan. They're quite good.
Okay.
Well, once I started like putting it all together, I'm like, well, this team's significantly better than Finland.
They got depth. They got depth.
Yeah. Finland doesn't have the same depth.
It's weird to say because I almost want to say Finland has more star power, but like they don't in a way.
I can see what you mean. I think they do actually.
I think they have probably the two best forwards, I would say. They have the best defenseman. And probably the best goalie. So, but overall depth wise, I'm taking Sweden. But
yeah. Okay, hold on, just un minute. Okay, Finland forwards.
Sweden.
Oh, sorry, Sweden. Sweden. I have it marked as Finland on my docs or something. I got to change that because I did it all in the same doc.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first line for Sweden: Jesper Bratt, Joel Eriksson Ek, Philip Forsberg. That's line number one. Line number two: Adrian Kempe, Elias Pettersson, William Nylander. Line number three: Lucas Raymond, Elias Lindholm, Gustav Nyquist. Line number four: Lucas Carlson, Mika Zibanejad, and William Carlson. I didn't do an extra because extras are for
you. You mean Leo Carlson, right?
What did I say?
Lucas.
I meant Leo, yes.
Okay,
yes,
I just wanted to clarify. I'm just like, who's Lucas?
Is there a Lucas? There is a Lucas Carlson somewhere.
I feel like you were maybe just mixing up with Lucas Raymond.
Yeah, probably. But I think I'm pretty sure there was a defense prospect named Lucas Carlson at one point.
I'll go mine, then we can discuss. My first line: Philip Forsberg, Elias Pettersson, Gustav Nyquist. I'm keeping the Preds together because they work together in real life. So why split them up for Four Nations? Second line: Jesper Bratt, Mika Zibanejad, William Nylander. I don't really like Zibanejad that high at the moment, but we will get into that. Third line: Adrian Kempe, Joel Eriksson Ek, Lucas Raymond. Third line: Leo Carlson, William Carlson, Elias Lindholm. My extra forward is Mikael Backlund.
We have the exact same forwards.
Okay.
Just in different
different lines.
Yeah.
So
I'm
yeah,
most
you
surprised
would,
you're
you would,
so low on Mr. Eriksson Ek.
Not that I'm so low on him. I just think the other two will bounce back.
And do you think he's a Kaprizov merchant?
No, I don't. I think Eriksson Ek's a very good player. I just kind of think he's more built for like a third line shutdown role come best on best, if that makes sense. Like he's a very talented defensive center.
Well, that's where I have Elias Lindholm, third line defensive.
That's fair.
Shutdown.
I have him on my fourth line, as a winger. I just didn't really want to put him higher. I don't know. I just like the other options first. Where'd you have Zibanejad? I'm curious.
Fourth line.
Okay, so you really
because
dropped him.
He's not what he was.
No, he's been really bad, and I probably regret putting him second line. Like I could flip Zibanejad and Eriksson Ek pretty easily. I'm just gonna say, I feel like Zibanejad can bounce back. Although Rangers fans hate him, so I don't know if that's actually true.
Yeah, he'll be on the power play. So.
I saw his analytics today. They were not good.
No.
So, a little concerning. But yeah, basically in terms of mine, I just like if I'm going pure talent wise, I'm probably going a Forsberg, Pettersson, and Nylander top line. But because I kind of wanted to keep Nyquist and Forsberg together, they play together with Pettersson. I don't know. I still think Pettersson's the best center they have on their team over Eriksson Ek or Zibanejad. I'm still
in previous seasons. I know you're a Pettersson merchant yourself. You sell Pettersson jerseys. You bring the profits back to Pettersson, and then he lets you do whatever he wants. But he just doesn't have it this year, Nathan.
He's
been better lately.
He's been better lately. I think part of it was unluckiness.
Yeah.
And I think I hate bringing up like who he plays with excuse, but he barely plays 5-on-5 with Quinn Hughes.
Well,
like
boo-hoo.
Quinn Hughes dominates 5-on-5 with like JT Miller and Brock Besser.
Just quickly on this.
No. And we've had this argument too about the Canucks D-Core. They have no puck movers. We know this. So they can't get the fucking puck to them.
I wasn't even going to talk about the defenseman. I was going to say, what was the entire point of signing Jake DeBrusk if you can't play with Pettersson?
Fair.
Wasn't that the whole point of bringing in Jake DeBrusk?
Yeah.
So that they'd
fair.
Have a proper.
I will say fair, but. I think they need like a third defenseman so that Pettersson's line can have like a puck mover there. Cause like Brännström's all right, but it's just like, it's Brännström, dude. Like we know what he is.
No.
And then he got Desjardins on the other side. Like,
yeah.
So,
and Tyler, it ain't 2009. You can't rely on too much Tyler Myers for that.
Nope. So like,
yeah,
but Pettersson is coming out of it. He's looked a lot better recent games. I've thought, he's generating chances. He's just, got to start finishing them a little bit.
He just needs confidence. He's a player that needs to be managed, I think.
Mm-hmm. I'll say I went with Backlund as my extra forward just because veteran depth, I guess. I feel like 13th forward sometimes in these kinds of tournaments, it's like you go for a very highly skilled player who can play like power play. So I was thinking Eklund maybe, but I kind of chose the center wing hybrid in Backlund, even though there's a lot of centers on this because Lindholm can play center, Leo Carlson I can play center. I'm pretty positive.
Yep. He was drafted as center.
Yeah. Is he still playing center or is he winging?
I think he does kind of both because Greg Cronin hates all young players.
Yes.
Anaheim,
right.
So
speaking of Anaheim, we might need to have a Trevor Zegras conversation recently.
I think there hasn't been a player that's needed a more of a change of scenery than Trevor Zegras, and I can't even remember how long.
We might have that conversation like next week when we get to like Team USA or something.
Yeah, his confidence is shot. But okay.
Defense.
Well, I just want to quickly just go over my forward really quickly.
Yeah.
Jesper Bratt might be the most underrated player in the game of hockey. Eriksson Ek, we believe that he is more than a Kaprizov merchant. Philip Forsberg, and I was reading actually Steve Dangle's new book the other day, and he goes over like the worst trades in NHL history, and Philip Forsberg. Yeah, the Philip Forsberg trade was there. Like, it's kind of hilarious. Like, some bad trades, like, you get, like for example, the Eric Carlson to San Jose trade. Like, Carlson for a period of time was productive for San Jose. Obviously, they lost that trade by a country mile because of Stützle and Norris, yada, yada, yada. But there was production there. Martin Jarrett did fuck all in Washington. And so did Michael Latta, who people forget was in that trade as well.
Oh, right, because I thought it was just Erat for
No,
Forsberg, one for one.
no, it was a Erat who had a very nice career is now only remembered for being a part of the worst trade, one of the worst trades in history. Anyway, Kempe, he's a sniper. That's someone you put with Pettersson. Nylander's extremely dynamic. I was thinking about putting him with Eriksson Ek, but I think Pettersson and Nylander could mesh really well. Raymond, Lindholm, and Nyquist, that's a really fast line with Raymond and Nyquist. Lindholm, in this case, hopefully he can just focus on his defensive duties because that's what they're going to be known for, Sweden. And then Lucas Carlsson. I said
Leo.
Lucas again. Jesus Christ. There's definitely a Lucas Carlsson somewhere in hockey.
I'll Google this. Keep going.
Okay. Leo Carlsson, bright future. He's looked really good in Anaheim when he gets ice time. Really fast. He can help out Mika Zibanejad, who's lost a step. And I think William Carlsson's a good player, too. He's not 40-goal William Carlsson, but if he's on your fourth line, you're in good shape. So this forward core is much, much better than Finland. Finland may, like, you could say Barkov and Rantanen are better than any player on Sweden. But I think in terms of depth of quality, Sweden's way ahead of Finland.
There is a Lucas Carlsson. He was drafted 110th overall in 2016 by the Blackhawks. He's 27 years old and he's playing for Rockford in the AHL currently.
That's not the one I'm thinking of.
What? Really?
Just give me 2 seconds here.
Is it,
I'm
are you thinking
sure he was
Carlsson with a K or
drafted.
Carlsson with a C?
No, see, I think he was drafted by Columbus. Currently
Hasn't played
playing
this one
110th.
hasn't
What?
played on Columbus before.
There was definitely one. Columbus.
I'm doing some digging, but I'm not
Lucas
seeing.
Carlsson. I'm certain, Nathan, that this was a member of Columbus. I'm certain. San Jose Barracuda. No, that's the same one I was thinking of. Who was that player? There was a player in like 2017 or so. Columbus drafted. He was Swedish. He was a defensive defenseman. End of the first round, and he didn't do anything. Ah,
What year?
like 2017 or 18.
And drafted to Columbus?
Yeah.
You're not thinking of Boquist, are you?
No, Boquist was Chicago, eighth overall.
Oh yeah, he was that high. Fuck.
Anyway, maybe I'm just losing my mind. It's a distinct possibility.
I think you're losing your mind a little bit.
Yeah, okay. But the point being, Sweden are legitimate medal threats. But the thing is, with Sweden in almost every international competition, they got a ton of talent. They're usually coached pretty well. I'm pretty sure it's going to be that Rickard Gronberg guy again. Fans of international hockey will know what I'm talking about. But they can't put it over the finish line for whatever reason. They always choke. Now, they always play good teams, and usually the teams are better than them. Like Canada and USA have better rosters, probably. But it's they can't put it over the finish line for some reason. And this is probably their best chance to win a medal in a long time.
And we're meaning gold medal, right, in that regard.
Yes.
Yeah,
Well,
yes.
I would even
14.
say medal. I would even say like
Well,
Olympics. Like, so they won silver. I'm not counting 2022 or 2018 because those Olympics don't count. But last time a real best and best, they won silver. And really, they got their asses kicked in that game. And they didn't win anything in 2010. So I think their last gold medal was what, 2006, if I'm not mistaken.
that'd be correct.
Yeah, so it's been a while, right?
I don't think they've had a world. Oh, no, World Junior. They had one. The 2012, I believe,
Yes,
Zibanejad OT winner.
Zibanejad. Yeah, and I think that's their last one because they haven't won a world championship since then, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I think you're right on that too.
And no one cares about under 18s.
What's
So,
the? Hasn't the USA not won a world hockey championship since like the 50s or something,
maybe.
or the
I know they
40s?
haven't won a gold since the Miracle on Ice, which is kind of insane.
That's not World Juniors, of course, but.
Yes.
Okay.
But
Defense Corps.
okay. Me first.
Actually, hold on. Side note. Speaking of Sweden forwards, Jonathan Lekker-Mäki debut tonight.
We'll see how it goes. Do you know what line he's playing on?
He's playing with Miller and Pia Suter.
Okay. He's gonna get a shot.
Yeah,
Okay.
well, that's they can't throw him on the fourth line. Like,
No.
they cannot. Like, if he's playing on the team, he has to be in the top six. Maybe
Like Sprong.
You can't throw him in the fourth line, it's a problem.
Yeah. Did you see my tweet about Sprong?
Yeah, I kind of agree with it, but kind of
Zach
didn't.
agreed with me. Well,
I just
like
like.
it's not a big deal. It like if you're crying over a player like Daniel Sprong, you have your priorities wrong. But
Sprung wrong.
didn't even try, right? And with Besser out, if there might now if he's a locker room cancer, fine, but. You know, didn't even try. And it, you knew he was Kuzmenko light. You
Oh,
knew.
like 100%. I think what kind of did it in was one. I think there's two reasons. One, Lekkerimaki looked really good in the AHL. It was time to bring him up, give him a shot. They just couldn't really do that with Sprong around. And then two being, I don't know if you saw in that Kings game from almost a week ago now for Thursday, he made a drop pass in the third.
Yeah.
When they were up by like two, it's
that
like,
was
dude,
it.
What are you doing? Just shoot the puck. Like, or get it deep, like, do anything. Don't make a drop pass. And yeah, I think Tocchet probably got really pissed at that one. So, defense line. Go ahead.
Okay. First pairing, Mattias Ekholm and Erik Karlsson. Second pairing, Rasmus Dahlin and Victor Hedman. Third pairing, Hampus Lindholm and Gustav Forsling. Those are my defense.
Okay.
I think Ekholm and Erik Karlsson could be a pretty sweet tandem.
Yeah, you went high on Ekholm. I'll say that.
I love Ekholm.
I went Hedman Karlsson as my top pair. All offense, no defense, probably at this point. But they play together like every international tournament they've ever done, I think. And I don't know. I see it working. Usually does. Second pair, Rasmus Dahlin and Rasmus Andersson, double Rasmus.
Okay.
I gave Andersson his flowers. He's been good to start this year on a pretty poor Flames team. Not poor yet, but soon to be poor. And then I had third pair. I went Mattias Ekholm and Gustav Forsling. My extra defenseman is Jonas Brodin. I left Lindholm off my team.
Interesting. I don't mind that, Nathan. Forsling. Is Forsling a right shot?
He's left.
Okay.
I'm playing.
Okay, so
I'm
I got a lot of
lefty.
I have one right shot defenseman.
Yeah, that's kind of where
that probably won't happen.
That's kind of where they have a lot of good lefties. Like, I could totally see them going 5 out of 6 being lefties and, like, 6 out of 7 to being lefties, to be honest. But I thought maybe they'll go at least 2 righties, I think.
I think Rasmus Andersson will be on the team. I don't do extras because I think extras are cringe. I think you just do the lineup and the extras will take care of themselves. But, yeah, Rasmus Andersson's really good. Canuck fans think they're getting him for some reason.
Oh, he literally cost Lekkerimaki or Willander, and Canucks fans are like, oh, we're not parting with those guys, so how are you getting Andersson? Like,
yeah, it would have to be, if even if it's not, it would have to be Ratu plus plus plus.
Is it, he's still got another year after this too, does he not?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure he does. Or that year past now, I think he does. But yeah, that's Ratu first round pick, second round pick,
yeah,
and I don't even know
more,
if that's enough.
More,
yeah,
might have put Baines in there.
Oh, well, I don't care. Bye. I don't think he's that great. Like,
yeah.
Sorry.
But back to Sweden. Mattias Ekholm is so good. You know how much better he makes Evan Bouchard look? It's like not even comparison. Like, Evan Bouchard is a great player, but defensively, he's still in the Ontario Hockey League.
Once Bouchard signs his $10.5 million contract, he's got to give at least $3 million of that to Ekholm.
Yeah. And if the Oilers didn't have Ekholm, they'd be in big trouble because it'd be a lot more Darnell Nurse, and that's not what they want. But Ekholm's great. I'm really happy that once he got out of Nashville, I mean, he was appreciated in Nashville, but he's appreciated tenfold in Edmonton. They love him there, and he actually likes it there, which is kind of cool because he's from like the northern part of Sweden where it's all cold and it's like light for 9 seconds of the year. It's dark the other part, so he likes Edmonton, which is kind of cool.
Well, you didn't have the amount. Exact amount of seconds it would be for darkness after 9 seconds.
Yeah, sorry. No math. I said there'd be no math. Erik Karlsson will play with him, I think. Because if you have Erik Karlsson, we know what he is at this point of his career. We'll get into it later when we talk about the Penguins. He needs someone who can play defense alongside him. Matt Grizzlick is not that player. You need someone who can be responsible. That's when he was at his best in Ottawa, when he had Mark Methot with him or Philip Kuba. Even and you might point to his, oh, his San Jose year. His San Jose year, he scored 101 points. David Quinn just told him to do whatever the fuck he wanted because they didn't care. They didn't care. And more power to them. He didn't defend at all. He had Mario Ferraro, who's better than Matt Grizzlick, right? So he needs a good partner. And Mattias Ekholm, like, you build him in a cage or in a lab. There's no more perfect partner for Karlsson. He's big, he can skate, he can do his puck retrievals, he blocks shots, and he can chip in offensively. He actually has more points than Bouchard there, believe it or not. This year, which is kind of crazy.
Exactly. Give him $3 million with the next contract.
Yeah. Second pair, Dahlin and Hedman. Dahlin can defend. And at this point, Hedman, you shift him to his offside and you pray that he's decent enough defensively. He is not what he used to be, my God. Now, I know Tampa's not what they used to be either. But He's fallen off a cliff a little bit the past couple of years. People still love him, though.
Just
I
a
think he
quick
got.
chime in there. Does Dahlin play the offside in Buffalo normally?
He might, because there's power in Byram.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And Samuelson's lefty as well.
Yeah, that's weird as hell.
So
That's he might. So in that case, you would put Hedman on the left side and Dahlin on the right. And if that's the case, cool, because you have to play someone like Dahlin, who's of course is talented offensively, but you need someone like him who's defensively responsible enough to save Hedman's deficiencies. So that's pairing number two. And on third pair, if Sweden's going to win, they're going to have to be stout defensively. So that's why I went with kind of like an all defense third pair of Hampus Lindholm, Gustav Forsling. Forsling, we know, is one of the best defensive defenders, if not the best defensive defenders in hockey. It pains me to say this, but in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals last year, Connor McDavid had not a wide open net, but he had a lot of room to shoot at late in the game, time ticking down, and Forsling stick checked him, and it was like defensive perfection. You couldn't have done it any better. He's excellent. Hampus Lindholm is steady two-way defenseman. He provides some offense. He provides some defense. Veteran presence. He was one of the only, I think, one of the only players on this roster who was there in Sochi. So, a little. I went with experience there over Rasmus Anderson. So that's my defense.
I feel like I went like the perfect balance almost. I went Hedman Carlson, you're all offense, no defense pair pretty much. Dahlin Anderson, you're a little bit of both pair. And then Ekholm Forsling, you're probably stay at home shutdown defenseman pair. So I could, yeah, I'd like you, like you could switch like Ekholm and Hedman and my pairs around and maybe just do a little bit of balanced of each, but no, I think yeah, I subbed or I snubbed Lindholm. I know that. Adam Larsson is another possibility. I could see him making it in like some third
Yeah,
pair
me too.
shutdown role. Just some weird thing like that, but I left him off. And there's another one I'm thinking of, and I can't think of it off the top of my head who I missed.
Do you have a hint?
No, I can't think of who else I've had, but there I feel like there was another one I was snubbing, but
Erik Brännström?
yeah, definitely did.
Yeah.
Goaltending.
Yes, strong. Not, America, but strong. I have Jacob Markstrom, Linus Ullmark, and Filip Gustavsson. I
I
think
do.
Markstrom will be the starter, even though he's kind of had a rough start to the year. I think he might be the most talented goalie in the game when he's on.
I have the same three, but I have Ullmark as my starter instead.
Okay. I could totally see that happening.
I just, yeah, Markstrom not as great of a start. Ullmark's been pretty solid, I think, for Ottawa, I want to say.
He's been, when he's good, he's really good. But like the three games he's had that are bad have been really bad.
Okay. But Ottawa's defense, right? That's always the excuse.
I don't know. This year you can't really pull that. Well, Hamonic, but other than that.
Travis Green. Favorite player.
Oh, God. He loves him.
He loves his former Canucks. Highmore, Gaudette.
Highmore's not on the team.
Wait, what? I thought he
He was
was.
in preseason. He's in the AHL now.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. But Gaudette's still around, so.
Yep, and he's playing well.
And they got McEwen,
Yep, but he like plays like 5 minutes a night. So,
that sounds like a Travis Green led team.
yep.
So Pittsburgh today trades.
Well, quickly, let's just say overall thoughts on Sweden. Very good depth, a good amount of star power, strong goaltending. It's all there in theory, but there's no winning DNA on this team. In the program's history, the national team, they haven't won in a long time. Are they going to be the best coach team? I don't know. They could win. They could absolutely surprise everyone and win the whole thing, but I have them in third overall.
Well, I know there was like the six players selected. We had those six players on both teams, right? Like I don't think we would have missed them, right?
What do you mean the six
Like
players?
remember in the summer they announced like the first six
Oh
guys
yeah,
on each
I'm
team.
sure. I'm
I'm
sure we
sure
had.
there's no
Yeah.
way we could have missed someone, right?
No, that would be pretty tragic.
Like, yeah,
No,
there's no way.
not a chance.
I don't even
Not a
want to look.
chance.
I'm just gonna say we're right. Like.
No, I know Canada's was like McDavid, Crosby, Petrangelo, Makar, and like maybe like Marchand.
I think it
So.
was MacKinnon, Crosby, McDavid, Marchand, Makar, Petrangelo. Yeah, I think you're right
Yeah,
on that.
and we're gonna have all those players. Although maybe Marchand,
Yeah, was Pietrangelo picked? I guess he was.
Yeah,
Well,
he
like he was.
was. He
was gonna
was.
make
He'll
the
be
team
there.
anyways, but
He'll be there.
he's gonna make my squad anyways, probably, just because they love the big, tall, right-handed defensemen, I guess. But okay, over to Lars. I'll say one thing too, actually, with the Team Sweden. A lot of it is gonna depend on Zibanejad and Pettersson getting back to form ish by then. Pettersson's already coming around. Zibanejad's gonna have to perform well, I think, for them to be successful in this tournament. To NHL news, Lars Eller traded like 2-3 hours ago today, at the time me and Joseph were recording, to back to Washington. He played there. He was on the championship team, wasn't he?
Scored the winning goal.
Right, he did. That's what I remember. He was traded for a 2027 third round pick and a 2025 fifth round pick. He's been good to start this year, low-key.
Yeah. I mean, he's useful.
4 goals, 3 assists in 17 games as like a fourth or third line pair guy. Like,
yeah. I mean, he's a useful player. I mean, he can fill a hole for their team. Like, there's no more Kuznetsov and Backstrom. Their center depth isn't what it used to be. If their plan is for him to play third or fourth line center, kill some penalties, maybe spend a little bit of time on the second penalty kill, cool. If they expect anything more out of him, they're not going to get him,
no.
Frankly. He's just an all right complimentary piece at this point of his career.
He's been great defensively this year, I must say.
Yeah, that's his MO.
88th percentile defensively.
Yep, and they could use that because their focus is offense for the most part.
Penguins now have 10 picks in 2025 and 2027 and 9 in 2026. The rebuild is starting, low-key, but...
The rebuild started last year with Gensel.
Much.
Or the retool.
And now, I believe it got reported that, well, Dreger was saying they don't intend on having a fire sale, but pending free agents are likely to go.
Good.
I saw something, I believe it was it Friedman who said it?
Said what?
One of the insiders said Penguins are open to trading anyone not named Crosby.
I think he reported it, but I think it was like originated by some Penguins beat writer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, doesn't surprise me. They look terrible. I had them in the playoffs this year, so it shows what I know. I thought that they would go all out on this last gasp. They would all unite around making Crosby's last couple of years memorable. They're done. They look horrible. Carlson's been terrible. Like, in the past, with his defense, he would make an effort not to be the worst defender in the league. This year, he's not trying at all on defense. He's the worst defensive defenseman in the league. He's producing a little bit offensively, but he's not going to score 101 points. And when you're the worst defensive defenseman in the league, you got to have 70 to 80 points, and he's not going to get that. Crosby looks very good, but he is no longer a top five player in the league, and he hasn't been for a little bit now. I love how people laud his defensive abilities because he was never really known for that early in his career. And then he had kind of a middle career renaissance defensively. He's been terrible defensively for about 3 years. And you can't blame it on Jack Johnson anymore because he's not there. He flies his zone constantly, and that's fine. He knows he has to score and pass to other players who are going to score for them to have a chance. And he's not scoring at the same rate he does. He's still useful. He's still worth his contract. But he can't carry a team to victory anymore. Same with Malkin. He's been really good. He's actually been healthy, which is a surprise. That's a resort to putting him and Crosby on their first line for the first time in 15 years. See if they can get any wins together. But they haven't. I was at the game where they were in Vancouver. Malkin looked great. Crosby looked okay. Carlson looked terrible. And the rest of the team looked like an AHL squad. They just don't have it anymore. They're done. They're finished. It's over. Letang doesn't have it. The whole team looks lethargic. And frankly, I'm stunned Mike Sullivan is still has a job. Stunned. We can all give him his flowers for 2016 and 17. But 2016 was almost 9 years ago. Oh, and 2017, almost 8 years ago. Long time, pal.
Was he head coach in 2016?
Or... He was, because he took over for Mike Johnston, who was fired in December of 2015. And they kind of did like another thing. It's weird. Like, two of their cups have happened after firing a coach, because they fired Therrien in 2008 and then won in 2009 with Dan Bylsma. And then they fired Johnston and hired Sullivan, and then they won a cup in 2016. It's
I thought maybe that Sullivan was
no
hired during the second year, but
nope. Why they would fire a coach a year after winning the cup?
I mean, it's happened in pro sports before.
Not so much in hockey, but every coach has a shelf life. His shelf life was 3 years ago, or 2 years ago, maybe. It's done. You can thank him for his contributions. He'll be on like the Penguins Ring of Honor or whatever they do. It's done. He's lost the room. It's over. Let him go.
I saw one like beat reporter or some fan on Twitter saying it's like, it sucks what's happening to Sullivan because they love him there, but this is his fault. But he should have left on his own, like Jim Rutherford did. Because the time has passed and now you kind of are going to take the blame and you're probably getting fired and it's just going to leave a sour taste in everyone's mouth. And he doesn't deserve it. He said he brought us two back to back ups. Like
cool. But that was 9 years ago. I mean, it's time to move on. I think part of the reason he's still around is who do you hire? Do you go down the Joel Quenneville rabbit hole? I mean, that he's probably the best option, and even and I don't think he should be back in the league.
Todd McClellan?
No. I mean, retread city over here. I mean, do you promote David Quinn? Because he's on the staff. He's failed everywhere he's gone.
Wait, I mean, so David Quinn was the Sharks head coach with Carlson and told him to go be free, go just score. And now he's back on their assistant coaching staff.
Yeah.
So he's just telling him to be free again, but this time he can't score offensively and he sucks defensively.
I know, and he's playing with Matt Grizzlick, which is a colossal mistake. It's done. They're done. There's no hope of contending in the Crosby years. Part of me wants Crosby to be a career Penguin like Lemieux and be like a one club man, as they would say in English soccer, and just retire as a Penguin and nothing else. Part of me wants him to go to a real contender and finish his career, look for that fourth cup. Now, if he goes to Toronto, I might kill myself, but he's a big chunk of me wants him to go somewhere where he has another chance at a ring. Because for me, he is probably the fourth best player of all time in my book, maybe third if you push it. He's either three or four in my book. I think he's past Gordie Howe personally, and I think Bobby Orr's appeal has waned a little bit as the years have gone on.
But is it weird to say that it's like Crosby might be higher on the all-time list, but like Ovi deserves to be on Mount Rushmore of the NHL players more?
I don't know if I agree with that.
I don't know. I just like it. I think both of them, like, because obviously it's Mario and Gretzky, and then the other two spots are kind of up for grabs.
That's the problem with Mount Rushmore discussions. There's only four spots.
Yeah,
that's not enough.
Right. Speaking of Ovi, Ovi's going to break the goal record this year.
It'll be in March.
Yeah, I'm loving.
That's
it.
That's his focus. Clearly, helps that Dylan Strome is unbelievable.
It helps that like their team. I think the focus is all on that. That they're kind of just sneakily going under the radar. That they're actually kind of good this year.
Yeah, they're playing loose.
Yeah,
they're having fun. They're playing for their captain.
Quick shout out before we move on to the NHL: Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, congrats. 15-1.
Wow,
very good. And they're winning today, I think, against New York, which is an accomplishment.
They are 4-3. 14-1, but they're up 4-3 with 15 minutes left against the Rangers.
So, hey, maybe Rick Bonus was the problem, although they were good under Bonus. But everyone,
wasn't Bonus gone last year?
No. Arneal was an assistant last year, but Bonus's last game was in the playoffs.
I thought it was the...
Nope, I'm right.
Okay.
But yeah, good for them. I'm happy to see Scheifele do well. And what's his name? Ehlers and Perfetti and the guy whose name I'm forgetting, Kyle Connor, Josh Morrissey's really good, Dylan DeMello. Good for them. Good for that fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Start filling the rank, Winnipeg. I know they are for the most part, but don't give Bettman any excuses to move that team. It's only 15,000 fans. You can do it.
Agreed. MLB time.
Yes.
Not a lot of news. Surprise, surprise. It's the MLB offseason. There never is until like December 1. So we're going to go through this slowly, I guess. We'll go through our top five kind of by position. I'm thinking like outfielder this week. We already have that written down. We can do like infielders slash like catchers maybe next week, and then maybe starters and starters one week, relievers the next kind of thing. And then I guess we'll touch on guys who do get signed during that time, even though they'll probably, like I said, probably be like three during the whole 4 week process that we do, because it sucks till the winter meetings normally. But MLB outfielders, I have my list of five. I'll say mine, and then you can like agree with me if you think these are the top five best. Yeah.
Nathan.
Am I cutting out?
Your mic's cut. Yeah, you're cutting. You're cutting out a bit. Are you okay now? Speaking.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you're good now.
Okay. Sorry. Maybe I'm getting close to having no power. I don't know. I'll say my five. And you tell me if this is the correct five.
Yeah.
Juan Soto. Teoscar Hernandez.
Juan Soto. Are you insane? I'm just kidding.
Teoscar Hernandez, Anthony Santander, Tyler O'Neill, and Jurickson Profar.
Yep, that's what I have.
Okay, cool. I guess we start with the big fish, Juan Soto.
Yep. Well, let's do 3-2-1 and we'll say it.
Yep.
Okay. 3-2-1 Mets. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I almost put Giants. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I like this format. Let's keep doing this. He's going to the Mets. They're going to give him the most amount of money. I downright refuse to even entertain the Blue Jays being a possibility.
They're meeting with them, dude.
John Heyman, fucking John Heyman. He's such a mouthpiece for Scott Boras. It drives me insane. He does all of his bidding. He drives up prices. He's such a hack. He's such a shill. He's not even a journalist. Can't stand him. They're meeting with them. They're expected to be in on. Jesus Christ. Like, if they sign one good free agent, I'll be shocked. Objectively good, like 4-win player. Anyway, who's next, Santander?
Well, I just want to say with Soto, I think if he was going to be a Yankee, he would have signed by now.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he's really going to take highest amount of money offered, and I think that it's going to be the Mets.
And he's got a ring, so he can prioritize money.
Mm-hmm. And I think he also liked New York, but he doesn't like being in Judge's shadow almost. Like, I think he wants kind of his own team. And I know we had this conversation last week. You said Lindor. I'm like, I think if Soto goes there, he's the base. Over under six. What do we want to set this line at? Over under 625 million?
I think he gets over 600, but less than 650.
Okay. I don't hate that. I'm going to say slightly over 625. I'll say like 642.
What's the years on that? 12, 13?
He's 26, so I'll say 14 years.
Okay. I could see that.
I'll say he signs till he's 40.
Any opt-outs?
I'd say
after 7 years, I'd say. 5 to 7 years, I could see an opt-out. Because remember, Bryce Harper had zero opt-outs. Machado had an opt-out. I'm sure Judge has an opt-out somewhere. So.
Yeah, I can't even picture opt-outs, but maybe there's. Teoscar Hernandez, our favorite guy.
Yeah. Okay.
Three.
Hold on. Okay. I'm just thinking because I don't know if I want to change this or not. Do I want to change it? Nope, I'm ready.
Three, two, one.
Dodgers.
Okay.
You think he's going to stay in Los Angeles? I could see that.
I think the ring thing played part. I think he likes the guy in the clubhouse. I don't know. I don't think he's going to sign another 1 year deal. He's probably going to sign like a 3 or 4 year deal, but.
Well, he's 32. This is his last chance at a real payday if he wants a long-term deal. So he'd be stupid to take another 1 year. I think Chicago is going to offer him a lot of money.
Even with Bellinger coming back?
Yep. Bellinger could play center field.
Okay.
So that's what I have.
I guess the Cubs are going to be in the mix for people. Like, they're in the Soto mix too, aren't they, a little bit?
Yeah, I'd say so.
But it's the Cubs. They probably won't sign anyone. Cubs seem like the Jays of, like, the NL
National League,
Yeah.
Although they signed, like, was it Shoto Imagawa they got?
The pitcher?
Yes.
This offseason or last?
Or there was, fuck, there's, God, I'm so terrible. But there was someone from Japan they signed. Can't remember his name.
Like this offseason?
Oh, Saya Suzuki. Saya Suzuki.
Oh, yeah.
They signed him. They signed Stroman a couple years ago.
They signed
But,
a manga too, I believe. I think
yep, Chozo
you're correct.
Mikama, yep.
Yeah.
But they do well in Japan typically. So yeah, they are like kind of like the Blue Jays, although they.
They gonna get the guy who just got put, what's his name? Who got posted? He's supposed to be really
Oh,
good.
like Rojkovic or something like that.
You know who I'm talking about, though.
Yes, I'm
Like
pretty
he's
sure I
supposed to
do.
be really good.
Man.
He won't get a big ass contract because he can't yet until he's like 26. I think it's similar to Ohtani when he came
Yeah.
over,
Yeah.
but Anthony Santander. Three,
Three,
two,
two,
one,
one,
Tigers.
Padres.
Wow. Okay.
Padres.
Why the Padres?
I think they want to splurge. This is their window. They got to bring in some outfielder. I think he's replacing Profar. Spoiler alert. So I know he's not very good at defense, but Machado and Tatis are getting older. This is their window.
Fair enough. Tatis still pretty young for the
Well,
most
what is he
part.
like, 27? He's not that young.
Maybe. Yeah. I went Santander to the Tigers. I kind of just think they're going to be in the market. They're ready to spend a little bit, I'm thinking. I think they need like a couple pitchers. I think they need a bat. And I think Santander is that bat. And he's switch hitter too, which they like because they don't really like playing two matchups necessarily, or they like playing the matchups. So now Santander's switch hitter. He can just not come out of the lineup when he doesn't, unless he needs his off day. I think they're ready to spend though, after getting to the playoffs, winning a few games in there. I think they're ready to spend.
Okay.
Tyler O'Neill.
Did we say Santon? Or hold on, hold on, hold on. Are we on four? Okay. I was thinking like I couldn't remember if we did Profar or not.
No,
Okay.
I have Profar as my fifth best outfielder for
Yeah,
free agent.
that's right. Tyler O'Neill, you ready?
Three,
Three,
two,
two,
one,
one, Cardinals.
Giants. Back to Cardinals.
I think he's staying. They can't. That fan base is pissed. They can't lose everybody, because then they'll have a St. Louis riot on their hands, because they already hate the fan or the front office because Goldschmidt's declined, Arenado hasn't been what they hoped for.
And probably getting traded by the sounds of it.
Yeah, so I think they're gonna have the money for it, so I think he'll stick around.
I went O'Neill to the Giants. I kind of just think they're going to be in the market for probably Santander, probably Teoscar, probably Juan Soto, and they're going to miss on each. And they'll just be like, oh, who's next? O'Neill it is. I don't know. Kind of like they always like never get the big guy. They always get like the tier two or tier three free agents. And I kind of just think that's going to
Snell.
continue. Snell, yeah. They're probably going to lose him this offseason too. Sadly, spoiler, they'll say that even though that's like 4 weeks from now or 3 weeks or
Yeah.
whatever it is. Jerkson Profar, last free agent. Three,
Three,
two,
two,
one,
one,
Padres.
Orioles.
Okay.
So we did a swap.
Yeah, we had a couple swaps in there. Yeah, okay. You go.
Orioles are going to lose Santander, and they need to spend some money to augment their young core. Pretty simple.
I kind of didn't have them replacing Santander because I think they're just going to rely on the young core to be that. I don't know. I think they have enough prospects and stuff to, but I see your point where spend some money and help the young core out. But I kind of think they're going to spend that money towards pitching more likely. Or maybe they spend the money on a bats and they trade a couple prospects to go get a pitcher.
Yeah,
Cough,
I could
cough.
see that.
Garrett Crochet, maybe.
Or they could, well, is Burns has Tommy John, right?
Nope, he should be healthy.
Okay. But is he a free agent too? I feel like
Yep,
he
he
is.
is.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Makes sense.
I already know where he's going, though.
Toronto Blue Jays?
You will
I hope they.
never, never guess who this team is. You will never guess it. I will say that.
Miami Marlins?
No.
Buffalo Bisons?
I'm using a lot of sarcasm there, by the way. You
Oh,
will know.
okay. I see.
But
I see.
anything else you want to touch on MLB wise? I don't think
No,
there's
I
been
hate
any.
the MLB offseason.
Yeah.
I hate it. 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 MLB, one of my favorite sport to play was baseball. At times, it's my favorite sport to watch, and it's got the worst offseason, the worst trade deadline, and the worst draft.
I think NFL is low key up there in terms of offseason. Like the draft is fun.
The
Like
trade deadline isn't. So you could say the MLB trade deadline's better.
yeah, free agency is really, really weird for the NFL, I find. I don't like how they do it before the draft necessarily. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
And then
I
there's like a, you do the draft and then you have like a 2 or 3 month stretch of no training camp. Like you get OTAs or you get mini camps, but I don't know. NFL recap. All right. I am not gonna lie, I really didn't watch a lot of games this week.
Me neither.
Seahawks were on bye, so I didn't really have any reason to tune in. Although I will say Bengals Ravens Thursday night last week. Holy shit, what a game. Holy shit.
Ah, pain, 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 all my life.
Do you see the Joe Burrow stats from the two games they played the
Yes, I
Ravens
saw
this
the
year?
Joe Burrow stats.
9 touchdowns, 1 interception. I think he threw for like what, 900 yards?
Yeah,
And
Chase
they've
went off.
lost both games. Chase 265 yards, I want to say it was,
Chase, the
272.
only wide receiver to get 265 yards on like 12 catches and still bitch and moan after the game.
Was he? Oh, about the last play.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd kind of just throw it to him in that scenario at that point too.
Maybe.
I don't know where who they'd throw it to. Tanner Hudson, I think it was.
It was someone, but he got like there was two flags on that play.
Yeah, they
Burrow
missed
got
both.
hit. Burrow got hit in the face, and I guess let's say it was Hudson. I think he was held.
I think it
Did
was
he?
Gesicki was held.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Now is Gesicki making that catch? Probably not. But I don't know.
Sad. It's just sad to see NFL games end on controversy like that. Because like great games like that, I should say too. Because that was a classic. Probably. It's funny because the Bengals and Ravens have maybe the two games of the year so far, and they're
Yeah.
both against each other. Like it's just funny that way. Panthers Giants. Germany game.
Good for Bryce Young to,
Yeah,
show why he's like not.
I he's he looks better
Yeah, good for
from
him.
what I've heard. I haven't watched much Panthers because it's
Maybe
Panthers, but
Deontay Johnson was the problem.
Chuba Hubbard is kind of good. He got a
Yeah, he's
contract.
really good. He's really
Canadian
good.
boy.
Good for him. Canadian. Yeah. All of a sudden, there's two good Canadian running backs.
Trying to think who the oh
Chase
Chase Brown.
Brown.
Yeah,
Yeah.
gotcha. 49ers Bucks. Didn't really, like I said, didn't watch a lot. Good that CMC is back for the Niners. Yeah, I'm saying good for them. Whatever. I still hate them. Fuck you, Niners fans. Saints Falcons. I did not pay one bit of attention to this game, I will say that. And
No,
how the fuck did the Falcons lose?
neither should anybody with like sanity.
Chiefs Broncos. Are the Chiefs really about to go undefeated? Like, what, how
What
can they
kind of devil
lose?
magic are they doing? What kind of devil
What
magic?
kind of chance is Taylor Swift doing putting up in like
I think
the
she's got like
crosscut?
the Ouija board out at midnight with her albums playing and like Travis Kelce there doing like a little mythical dance. Like I watched a good chunk of that game, and I see Patrick Mahomes playing up his ankle injury, limping around like a jabroni. And then the second the game ends, he's sprinting around the field like he's Forrest Gump. Like, my God.
Did you hear the hot mic? There was a play where he was like running, scrambling out of the pocket, and he was running out of bounds.
Ribbit, ribbit.
And he asked the ref to like let him know when they're getting close to him.
Oh, God. Probably did too.
Oh, well, the like, yeah, I don't know what it was about, but like the media just had a day with it because they're like, Mahomes, refs, they're paying him off, blah, 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 blah.
Well, they want the Chiefs to do as well as possible. I mean, God, how? Oh, man. Not fair. Apparently, Taylor Swift has like a new album coming out. I was like, what the fuck? Didn't she just release one? But alas.
Bills Colts.
Not much to say here.
Yeah, Flacco doesn't look like the answer as well, which it's not really a surprise to be on two. Yeah, this is a classic Joe Flacco pass game. 26 for 35 for 272 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. Holy
Nice.
Joe Flacco game. Oh
It's weird
yeah,
because he still has a strong arm, but yet he still dinks and dunks for some reason.
I want to see Anthony Richardson back in. Because look what it's doing for Bryce Young. Bryce Young looked better. Why can't Anthony Richardson sit for a couple of weeks and come back in and look good?
Yeah.
I'm going to skip Steelers Commanders because I want to talk about them at the end. Vikings Jags. Sam Darnold has regressed back down to earth.
Yep, he's Sam Darnold again.
Who Mac Jones was playing for the Jags this week because Trevor Lawrence is hurt. Nice 14 of 22, 111 yards, no passing touchdowns, and two interceptions. He added a rushing touchdown, though.
Welcome back, Blake Bortles.
Not quite, but
Welcome back, Case
okay,
Keenum.
actually another one I want to talk about. Patriots Bears. Bears lose 19-3 in this one.
Yep, funny.
I think Caleb gets sacked 9 times in this game, if I'm not mistaken.
Oof.
Yep, 9. He goes 16 of 30 for 120 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Today, they fired offensive coordinator Shane Waldron, ex-Seahawks
Yes, that's
offensive
right. I was
coordinator.
just thinking about that.
God, they are so safe now because that guy fucking sucks. I'm sorry. I like they were all complaining about him on like from day one, from game one, they were complaining about him. I'm like, yep, enjoy him, Bears fans. I know what they're feeling. Eberflus needs to go as well. Their head coach, he needs to go.
I don't know.
He's lost the room, in my opinion.
Okay.
And I think they need to bring in an offensive guy to help Caleb out as our next head coach. And I am looking at Mr. Ben Johnson of the Detroit Lions for that role.
Apparently, he loves it in Detroit.
He does, like, he got coaching offers last year, but
And a
he
year
stayed in
before.
Detroit.
He's
What's
been, well, he's a white offensive coordinator. How is he not hired yet? Like, that's what the NFL loves. And I think he's got McVay connections too. So really, how is he not hired? But yeah, they'd have to offer him like a fortune.
I think this is the year he'll leave. I think he could have went last year, but he's like, I'll stay one more year. Let's do run it back one more time, see if we can win something in Detroit. And if they don't, then he'll walk. But I'm thinking that's going to be the Bears' next head coach. But yeah, get Caleb some help because their O-line sucks. They need to go invest in an O-line because I still believe in Caleb. Like he hasn't lived up to the hype necessarily,
No,
but
it's
like
been 1 year. It's been 1 year. Calm down.
yeah. People are saying he needs to get benched or something. Or
Well,
like
no.
apparently I saw this today. Some of the veteran players wanted him benched. I'm looking at DJ Moore thinking he wants him benched, and they want Tyson Bagent to come back in and be quarterback.
Crazy.
I saw that report. I don't know how true that is, but
Well,
I saw that. I'm like, this screams DJ Moore.
more and more often we are seeing young quarterbacks come in from college and struggle. Right, it just goes to show that maybe it's not a bad thing to sit for a year. We all know that happened with Mahomes. I don't think Josh Allen played his first year.
I
He
think
played
he
some. He played
played
some.
like half of it, maybe.
Yeah, and like Tua played parts of his first year. So I think it's a good thing for more quarterbacks to get a year to learn because it's a huge difference. Like I remember I saw a tweet today saying, would the New York Giants have a 500 record in NCAA? And then, like, a quote tweet was like, bro, they'd win the national championship.
Yeah.
So.
Burrow, even though he got hurt in his first year, like he sat for the second half of the year and he got to play. I mean, he didn't get practice reps or anything, but he got to learn and watch. Chargers Titans didn't pay attention. Chargers win. Chargers are much better than people are thinking.
I thought they'd be good.
I put them at like 7-10, and right as I put them at 7-10, I'm like, this is a mistake. They're going to be like an 8 or 9 win team, and they're 6-3 right now. They could be a 10 win team.
Yep, Herbert's
Yeah.
my new quarterback because I finally sat Jordan Love.
He is
So,
also my quarterback because Anthony Richardson got benched.
what?
I'm rolling with the waiver wire, but he's got a good schedule the next like 5 weeks, so I'm rolling with him.
Yeah, all my receivers are just destroyed because I have Diggs and Evans, which sucks.
We'll get
And,
well.
well, I had to play Xavier Worthy last week because Njigba was on a bye, so I was really screwed.
The next team who I want to talk about, who also applies to my wide receiver room, is the Eagles and the Cowboys because the Eagles won 34-6. The Cowboys are fucking terrible. Like, holy shit. And CeeDee
I
Lamb should
oh,
have
they're
had a
speaking
touchdown
of what
catch,
my
but
wide receivers, God, probably cost me the week. I lost by 3 points. Good
CeeDee
Lord.
Lamb should have had a touchdown catch in that game, but Jerry Jones decided not to put curtains in AT&T Stadium and blind his own players.
I wonder if Jerry Jones has CTE
Like
because he played at a college football level. So I don't know. Yeah, he's McCarthy won't be there next year.
no.
Everyone will be there, or everyone will be gone except for Jerry Jones. Nothing's changing until Jerry goes.
Okay.
But I do find it extremely funny how twice a year, it's like my Christmas or my Thanksgiving, I see Skip Bayless throw his Dak Prescott jersey into the trash and proclaim himself to be done with the Cowboys. And then a week later, he's cheering again. I love it.
I was looking at this stat kind of today. They have, I believe it's the third, no, fourth worst point differential. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, they're fourth worst point differential in the league.
That's inexcusable.
Yeah.
I know Trayvon Diggs is hurt, I think. He's hurt, right?
Nope, he's back, I believe. Healthy.
Okay, he was hurt. We know Dak is hurt, but in at this point in Dak's career, he's not a top 10 guy.
He was a top 10. He was almost borderline top 5, I think, coming into this year. Like, he was good last year.
Yeah, but he's not. He's proven time and time again he can't win when it matters.
No.
Time and time and time again. Right? So, poor Tony Romo. He was so hated on for so long, and you don't know what you got till it's gone.
Another team we enjoy seeing lose is the New York Jets because
love it.
Yeah. Cardinals beat them 31-6. Yeesh. I'm going to give some flowers to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
They've
Good
won
for Kyler Murray.
I believe they've won 4 in a row now.
Good thing he decided not to play baseball.
Yep. They've won 4 in a row now. Their defense has looked pretty damn good the past 3 out of the 4 weeks, I would say.
Yeah. Jonathan Gannon's done a good job there.
Which sucks because I want them to suck. But they're like a team in the NFC West. It's like, yeah, I want them to suck, but like they're fine. They don't really bother me. The Rams and the Niners bother me more. And then Texans Lions on Sunday night. What the fuck?
I know. That was so funny.
How do you throw 5 picks, Jared Goff, and still come away with a win?
I think he's done that before.
No,
I think he's thrown 5 picks before in his old LA Ram days. But I thought it was objectively quite funny that he did it and won. I'm cheering for the Rams, or not the Rams, the Lions, because I think my Bengals are done. But I love Dan Campbell. I love the Lions. That's a known fact.
I'll leave my bandwagon team for a sec. Assuming the Seahawks don't make it, I still believe they can. But we'll see.
Still believe.
Dolphins Rams. Thank you, Dolphins, for beating the Rams. We needed that. Dolphins looked healthy and they looked better last night. Also, I watched the first half of it. I didn't catch the second half, but they look like they could maybe make a sneaky run. Their schedule isn't that actually that bad, I'm pretty sure, coming up. They go Raiders, Patriots, at the Packers, Jets, at Texans, home to Niners, at Browns, at Jets.
Yeah.
That's a winnable schedule. There's 3, maybe, two losses, I'd say I'd give them. 2 or 3. Yeah. If they can win, you can win one of those, like, you're 10-7, and you win the rest, you're 10-7, I don't know. Still a chance. My bandwagon team, though, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right, your boy.
My boy Russ is so back. I love it.
He's back.
We might need to have a conversation that they're legit.
Maybe.
Like, obviously, you know, that's still going to be like, oh, they're not winning a Super Bowl. Do I think they're probably going to win a Super Bowl? No. Like, I would take the Bills, I would take the Ravens, and I would take the Chiefs over them, but their defense is like very good.
Yeah,
and Russ has come in and like actually made this offense look like good-ish. Like, he's not really, he doesn't bring the running ass. Like, could you imagine if they just like merged Justin Fields' legs onto Russell Wilson's body? Like, just make prime Russ come back again.
I mean, he'd look kind of weird considering Justin Fields is shorter than him, but I
mean, you know what I
mean,
though. Like, they give him his running ability, and I'm just trying to pull up this stat since Russ has come back as quarterback. I know what game it was, but it was against the Jets. Yeah, so they've scored 37 points, 26 points, and 28 points with Russ at the helm.
Yeah, couldn't, you know, Sean Payton, terrible coach, terrible person. So not a huge surprise.
I want to make that clear, though, that if the Seahawks do not make the playoffs, the Steelers are my bandwagon team, and I think I have every reason to choose them as my bandwagon team because Russ is my favorite player. ever. So I don't think you can shit on me for saying that.
No, I'll lay off for now.
I'm choosing an out of conference, out of conference team that has my favorite player on it.
Hey, is that a shot at me?
Maybe.
No How comment. Dare you? Okay, no comment. Quickly. The Ottawa Senators are up 3-0 against Toronto. There's 4 minutes left. Toronto's pulled their empty net. I will give you my life savings, Ridly Gregg, if you clap bomb another flapper into the empty net. I will give you all $49 I have in my bank account. Nothing on earth would make me happier than that. And see Leaf fans bitch and moan again.
We had Jets win again, by the way, 6-3.
Again, was that Shesterkin in the net?
Something I gotta check. Probably.
I'll check right now. Yeah, I bet he was.
He was.
Okay.
One was an empty netter, but.
Yeah, well, 5 goals. That's a lot.
Want to go to the NBA now?
Yeah, quickly.
Okay.
Bronny in the G League.
Yeah, that all happened. We'll touch. Let's start with that because we'll get to the Cavs. But have you heard what they're actually doing with Bronny? Like the plan?
What, the shuttle?
Kind of.
Like, sort of.
He's only playing home games for the G League team.
God, that's stupid. He needs all the development he could get.
Apparently, he's not playing road games. I don't know if this is 100% true.
No, okay.
But he'll play home games for the G League, and then I think he travels with the Lakers. I'm curious to see what happens if the G League team is home and the Lakers are on the road. Like, what happens there? But
that's stupid. That's stupid. Now, unless, remember, he had his cardiac arrest. Unless it's for that reason, and they want to be careful, then it's stupid. He's arguably the most raw player affiliated to an NBA team. And you can argue he's the worst. He needs the development. If he's ever going to be an NBA player, he needs to play. He needs to play in the G League. And his first game was awful. What, he scored 5 points? He had like a quintuple single. Like, he's just not very good. He needs to play. He needs to play. And shielding him from away fans, like, come on, it's the G League. Like, they're not going to be that hostile.
No.
Like, ridiculous.
I do find it funny how Bronny's first points in the NBA were the "la fuck you" step back there, or shot.
Not really. It was kind of just a turnaround.
No, it was a "la fuck you." It was a "la fuck you."
It can't be "la fuck you" when you're down 20.
It was like he caught it and went.
Yeah, well, it cools against Cleveland.
Yeah, that too.
So, good for him. Speaking of Cleveland.
Yeah, speaking of the Cavs. Holy shit.
That's a first round exit coming up.
Well, okay. I think you could call them legit.
They're good. They're good. We know.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. The Celtics lost to the Hawks in group play of the NBA Cup. Wow.
How are the Raptors doing? They were losing when I was looking.
They're losing by 11 to the Bucks at the moment.
To the Doc Rivers led Bucks.
Holy
I'm blaming.
Grady Dick has 27 points on 14 of 16 free
He's
throw
so
shooting.
Good.
14 of 16 free throw. Nice. How the hell do you have that many free throws?
Well, probably get fouled
the rest
a lot.
Of the start. The rest of the team does. No one else has 10 points yet. Giannis 16-4-5. Who the hell is Ryan Rollins?
I don't know. Seth Rollins' brother.
I
don't know. The point is, I'm blaming Doc Rivers for Kamala Harris losing because he endorsed her. But Bucks are shit. I mean, that's what you get when you put Doc Rivers, the biggest fraud in NBA history, with Darvin Ham, arguably the dumbest coach in history. So,
salute.
Unbelievable.
Cavs, though.
He's just not very smart. Yeah.
Cavs, though, 12-0. Like, they're gross. Like, what? I don't, like, Darius Garland is back to being, like, a very talented point guard again. I believe he's averaging, like, 20-12 right now. Hold on. Yeah. I'm pulling up the stats. Or not 20-12, sorry. 20-6, but he's shooting 50, 45, 91. 52, 45, 91. With 1.4 steals a game, and he's only turned the ball over 2.5 times a game right now. Mitchell's putting up 23.7, so 24, about 4-3, 46, 41, 84. Mobley has been sick defensively, and he's kind of taken a scoring step a little bit. 18 points a game.
Yeah.
Two, three assists, nine boards. Shooting the ball a little bit from three, says he is, at least.
Bickerstaff has done a good job there. He's put in kind of a tough position. One, that college coach they brought in, like, retired or resigned 2 months in. And he's done a good job. So good for them. Good for that fan base who, you know, never sees anything good happen unless your name is LeBron James.
I think if they can go out and trade for a 3-and-D wing at the deadline, I will call them a title contender.
Okay.
Because that's kind of what's bit them in the ass the past two playoffs is, especially I think who'd they play? Who was it 2 years ago they played? They played the Knicks, I believe. Yeah, it was the Knicks. And the Knicks beat them, I believe, in five or six. And it was because the Cavs at like all times had two shooters, Garland and Mitchell, and two defenders, Mobley and Allen. Both were not good at the other one, right? Like Mobley and Allen couldn't shoot. Garland and Mitchell aren't good defenders.
Yeah.
So you kind of had those two balance each other out, cancel each other out. So you need like a 3-and-D wing to like cover that. They had LeVert, good shooter, not a good defender. They had Okoro, good defender, not a good shooter. So they were kind of cooked at all times because they had either three floor spacers who couldn't play defense or they had three defenders who couldn't shoot. So it's still an issue for them, I'd say. I think they need to go get another guy. I don't know who's going to be available come deadline time. Maybe
Bruce Brown.
He's not really a wing though. Maybe he is. Maybe. That's
hard to say. There just isn't much this time of year.
No. Trying to think who's like free agents coming up. I don't know. Maybe they'll go get like LeBron James.
I would like to see LeBron finish his career there. It's probably not going to happen because Bronny's on a 4-year deal with the Lakers, but it would be cool.
Bucks are shit again.
Yeah.
Giannis is requesting a trade. I'm sorry.
Probably. Like in the near future.
Everything I've heard from him in the media, it's been terrible.
Yeah. Just didn't work with Lillard. Lillard needs to be the man. Mm-hmm. And he's not the man there. And Doc Rivers, what an unforced error firing Adrian Griffin to hire this idiot. I mean, he is such a fraud.
The Eastern Conference is so bad. I'm looking at the standings. You got the Cavs who are 12-0. You got the Celtics who are 9-2. The Pacers are the 3 seed at 5-5. Then you got 5-6, 5-6, 4-5, 4-5, 4-6, 4-7, 4-7, 4-7, 2-7, 2-7, 2-8, 2-9.
Yeah. Crazy.
I mean, that's obviously going to change because the Bucks and the Sixers are two of the teams with two wins, so. And the Raptors are going to be better because they're
Raptors.
Rawr.
What was that?
It's a raptor noise.
Raptors. I mean, I think I could see Bobby Webster getting fired after this year.
Yeah, maybe.
I would have fired him 2 years ago.
You said when we're doing our predictions that Darko was going to get fired.
I don't think that's going to happen anymore.
Okay.
I've accepted that this year's a wash.
Okay. I'll trust you in that. Anything else you want to wrap up?
Not particularly. I saw Hampus Lindholm's injured. He left the game today.
Oh,
he will
there.
Not return.
Look at my predictions. It's already coming true.
Maybe. Maybe you're secretly a genius.
Yeah. Maybe I just knew he was getting injured tonight, or I worked some Taylor Swift voodoo magic on him to injure him.
Can you tell Taylor Swift to give me some good voodoo? I'd have to probably buy all 17 of her albums first and donate an organ so I can afford concert tickets.
Yeah, that's coming up. I saw the Jays posting all their like rules about it on their Instagram today.
Like, God, it's so corny. Like, you know, Toronto is naming a street after her, like on Rogers, where the Rogers Center is, because that's where she's going to play. Like, my God, it's so corny.
Like, permanently?
No.
Okay.
But it's still silly.
I can't believe I didn't bring this up when we were talking about it. I knew I wanted to. Kind of minor thing, but you see the Rays news today?
About the building?
Yeah, they can't play there next year.
I thought it was 500 million and they can play there. It costs
I don't think
500 million and they could be ready.
it's going to be ready till 2026.
I don't think they want to even pay the 500 million. Where are they
No,
going to go?
they're waiting on their ballpark. I think they were talking about like spring training facilities for teams down there. I don't know
That
who,
would
but
suck.
I mean,
That
teams
would
are like
suck.
building brand new ones down. Like the Jays just built a huge new facility down there, right? But the Jays are obviously aren't going to let them play there because they're division rivals, probably, right?
Yeah, screw him.
Find your own place.
I don't want to play with you anymore. But alas, that might be the facilitator for them to eventually move.
Yeah, what Nashville maybe?
Gosh, well, Vegas is gonna get a team.
Yeah.
Like, where else could it be? Nashville's really the big one. Oakland. I'm just kidding.
Trying to think of other like big markets right now in the States that don't have a team. Like Carolina, maybe? Like one of the Carolinas.
I don't know.
I could see
Atlanta's
it.
got a team. Like what other one? Milwaukee's got a team.
Do
Like
they?
they're really
Oh yeah, the Brewers. What am I saying?
do they? I don't even know. Like what other place could support a team? I really think
How
they're maxed out.
about I pull up an MLB relocation tier list? Or like
I don't know.
Vancouver.
Well, BC Place, it technically could do it. It would just be a terrible idea.
Oh yeah.
Like, it would just
Okay.
be a complete mess.
In terms of, well, Montreal is always going to be rumored.
Well, they don't have a stadium.
So, in terms of metro area population, they rank this. Number one, Montreal. Number two, Charlotte. Number three, San Antonio. Four, Portland. Five, Sacramento. They're already getting a team right now. It doesn't matter. For a couple of years at least. Number six, Las Vegas, getting a team in a few years. Doesn't matter. Nashville, number seven. Salt Lake City, number eight.
The thing is with baseball, you have to think of weather. Like it's probably too cold in Salt Lake City. It's probably too hot in San Antonio. So I don't know.
I'm
Hard to
pulling
say.
up. I think Charlotte or Nashville is my pick.
It'll be Nashville.
Yeah.
They like it there. It's a growing landscape.
I think both those could work realistically. Plus, Carolina's like close to every city for the most part. So, that I believe wraps up all we got to talk about this episode, correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Next week we will come back with USA roster predictions.
Kaka.
That
That was an
goes
eagle.
the list. The teams dropped December 4th, I saw, right?
Yes, that's right. Which is stupid because it's February. But anyways.
Yeah. So we got that to talk about. We got we'll do infielders, I guess, next.
Yep, we do infielders.
And then we will go to week 11 breakdown, see if anything wild in the NFL comes up. I'm sure something's gonna happen.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what we'll talk about NBA yet.
Yeah,
Maybe,
we'll figure it out.
we'll figure it out. But yeah, you got this far. Thanks for listening. We will see you in the next episode. And good luck, Jonathan Lekkermäki. He is scoring tonight. Book
Okay.
it. Book it. Okay, but peace out.
Bye.